Shabbat shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom. May I have your attention, please? I'm a son of Yisra'el, and I'd like to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It's time to start. Find your seats for Sabbath services.
My name is Sonny Yisra'el Bodiah Hawks, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the future priests and priestesses now entering the sanctuary. I now have a privilege and honor to present to you one of the sons of Yisra'el, Yeshaya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is Control Your Anger. We all experience anger, but we have to control it. This is called self-control. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, verse 26 on page 918. Ephesians 4, verse 26. It says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So the scripture says you can be angry, but do not sin. Control your anger. Practice self-control. In the self-control book, teacher's manual, I'm going to read you a couple things. It says, anger. Anger is a normal emotion that is experienced by everyone. However, it is actually a secondary emotion. This means that anger is felt as a result of other emotions that have not been appropriately resolved. Frustration, embarrassment, annoyance, jealousy are all primary emotions that, if left unchecked, can result in anger. Since everyone experiences anger, it is a lack of self-control that leads to inappropriate behavior when dealing with anger. Anger simply tells you that something is being said or done that you do not agree with. So that is basically what anger is in a nutshell. Now, again, in the self-control book, chapter 3, note to the teacher, I'm going to read the first paragraph. It says, "People of all ages have to deal with anger, from the toddler throwing a temper tantrum in the store because he can't get his way, to the adult who was just cut off in traffic. Yes, we all experience anger. Yet the way many people choose to handle anger today has become dangerous, from school shootings as a result of bullying, teasing, to road rage, gang wars, and even conflicts between nations." So as you can see from what I just read, uncontrolled anger, not practicing self-control, leads to school shootings, bullying, teasing, road rage, gang wars, and even conflicts between nations. Now in the scriptures, we have examples of people who controlled their anger and people who didn't. Turn to 1 Samuel 19, verses 9 through 10. 1 Samuel 19, verses 9 through 10. On page 200 and... On page 239, it's 1 Samuel 19, verse 9 through 10. It says, "But an evil spirit was allowed by Yahweh to come upon Shaul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand. And David's hand was playing the music. Shaul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear, but David escaped him as Shaul drove the spear into the wall. David fled and escaped that night." So even in the scriptures, we have examples of people not controlling their anger. And from the example I just read, Shaul did not control his anger, and he even tried to kill David. And David practiced self-control, and he did not retaliate. In the first book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 59, I'm going to read you something. It says, this word mad in verse 34 actually means mentally frantic with fear, but with anger and an angry mood. Have you ever gotten in that way? Have you felt it come upon you? You know how hard it is to get rid of it? This is coming from what you're doing, breaking these laws. Yahweh gives us simple remedies to get rid of this and keep it out of your life. It is not an easy thing to totally control, but it can be controlled. I have demonstrated it. I have remained calm at times. So here, the greatest teacher in the world is showing us that we can control our anger. And he doesn't ask us to do anything that he would not do himself. In the self-control book on page 57, I'm going to read the second paragraph. It says, anger is a normal emotion that we all experience at times. Children and adults all experience anger for one reason or another. There are as many reasons for people to get angry as there are people. What might make one person angry might make another person laugh. Whether or not we get angry depends on our personality and character. Although all people experience anger, it can be dangerous if uncontrolled. It can affect the way you communicate and interact. It also can affect the way you feel about yourself. So, rage is an example of uncontrolled anger. We make ourselves angry. Nobody else makes us angry. We're the ones who choose to be angry. So, in conclusion, control your anger, do not sin, and practice self-control. And with this, I would like to turn it over to Son of Yisrael Abel for prayer.
And now I have the privilege and honor to introduce to you Son of Yisrael Abel, Great Deacon Abishalom Hawkins.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, as you can see, Pastor's been talking about the Vatican extensively, and he's really going into what they're doing. And we can see them, they're actually like judging the other nations. They're telling the other nations what they want done. But the Vatican, it was prophesied in Scripture, and its job was prophesied. And it was all laid out. Even this Pope here, what his job is prophesied, and what he's going to do with this, with the trickery and the works to attack all righteousness and to attack the saints of Yahweh. So this was all laid out perfectly in the prophecies. If you can turn over to Daniel 7. If you look at verse 25, it says, if you will speak great words against Yahweh and will wear out, mentally attack, cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh and will think to change times, Yahweh's feast days and laws, and they will be given into his hand until a time, and dividing of times. Okay. So you can see how he's going to attack. He's going to attack the saints of Yahweh, and he's going to attack all holiness or all righteousness. Now, you can see how, like, the Pope, he kisses babies and he makes a show, but he has the Catholic Church and the Vatican, they have a very evil history, especially with the Crusades. Now, Pastor put out a press release recently. It was called How to Stop Police Shooting Citizens and Citizens Shooting Police. And here it says, Yahweh has allowed mankind, starting with the elders of the 12 tribes, to judge themselves, and nothing will be withheld from them. It says, even today, we see the Vatican judging and acting as the leader of the kings of the earth. But that will all change in this generation with the nuclear destruction. And it says, notice after the nuclear burning. It says, Daniel 7:25, and he will speak great words against Yahweh, and will wear out, mentally attack, cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh. And he'll think the changed times, Yahweh's feast days and laws, and they will be given into his hand until a time, and dividing of times. And it says, notice the authority of the Vatican will end with the last time, then the judgment. And then it says, Daniel 7:26-27, then the judgment will set, and they'll take away his government to consume it and destroy it completely. Then the kingdoms and the governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of Yahweh, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all governments will serve and obey him. And then, Pastor goes on to, he keeps talking about the Vatican's rule in what's occurring in the world today. But they really hate whenever someone brings up the Crusades or starts talking about the Crusades. They really hate that. They don't like their history. They don't like what they've done to be exposed. And you can see that the opposition that President Barack Obama got whenever he talked about the Crusades. They didn't like him for that. Now, but we can see Pastor doesn't withhold the history. He gives us what they want to hide. If you look in the Israel Says program, in the 8th book of Israel, chapter 29, verse 165, it says, he said even worse, a deliberate distortion. He says a dark mentality, speaking of this pope. The man is saying he has a dark mentality, and that comes from the darkness of the Middle Ages. This was when the Crusades were going, and he, the Pope, the Catholic Church, was killing so many people. And history shows us this. That's not a lie, and that's not a lie they put out. They killed them. And they, as history shows, they had a sword in one hand and a cross in the other. If you didn't convert to it, you were dead. Okay, and we can see that even today with the Jesuits and these other organizations. They're there for the Catholic Church. You know, they're there to promote the Catholic Church and make sure that everything goes in line with what the Catholic Church wants. In the 8th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 5, Pastor's talking about the Crusades again. He says, the Crusades, if you'll read them, the popes were saying, stop fighting among yourselves and come help us fight our enemy. Fight and kill our enemy. And then, skipping down a little bit, he says, he goes out and he kills. He kills and he kills. But he doesn't outdo their enemy. And they go and kill and kill. And at the end, 500 years later, with diseases in the camp, their strength was gone, their zeal was gone. And so they finally make a truce at the end, which no one wanted to keep. But this gave them a going out. So they finally made a truce with one another and went back to their countries to die in their disease-ridden bodies. This is what continual war brings you. This brings death. And he goes on talking about the Crusades. But this was even prophesied. It was told to them that they would have continual war, vengeance and retaliation. And we could see it in the world today where they always have to be fighting, nation against nation. And then in a prophetic word, OAT Prophetic Word, 2008. It's called The Killer Religion. On page 2, it's talking about the Crusades and what they did in the Crusades. It says, to kill a religion, you must insinuate evil. Evil is being done by them. And then Pastor's talking about, there's a story that they put out. It's called The 12-Year-Old Missing Girl. I don't know if you've heard it, but it says, first the news went out that a 12-year-old girl was missing. Even a description of her was given. Some likable facts about the girl were made up to form a personal relationship with the child. And they gave facts about her, and then And then they said that the last time she was seen was near a community of Jews. And that's the Jews that the church wanted wiped out, the church in that area. They wanted them destroyed. They wanted them wiped out. And then later on, they said that there was the community was seen trying to clean up blood and trying to clean up evidence. And so that put in the haters' minds that there was a murder, something else occurred. And then it grew and grew until everyone in that community, they thought that something occurred, but actually it was all false. And so after a public meeting, one evening, they took axes, hoes, anything they can use as a weapon to go murder these people in this community, just because of their religion, just because they didn't want them being around. So whenever you see these things, you know, the Crusades are still going on. It's an attack on all holiness, okay? It's an attack on righteousness. And it's still going on today. It's been going on for 6,000 years. So whenever you see Pope Francis acting all righteous up on a stage, or don't let him deceive you. You turn over to 1 Yochanan 3, verse 7. It says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." Okay, so, you know, if Pope Francis was righteous, if the Vatican was righteous, they wouldn't be killing, they wouldn't be murdering these people. So don't let them deceive you. Don't let this Vatican deceive you, because, you know, they have this very evil history. And with that, I'll turn it over to next speaker, Deacon Tony.
Shabbat Shalom. It's a beautiful day to be in the house, yeah, isn't it? Enjoying the weather? You may be seated. So, today I'm going to be covering a little bit about why, you know, we all know, everyone says, well, the United States is the chief of all nations, as Isaiah 2:2 states, that this house would be established in the chief of all nations. But what led up to the United States becoming this chief of the nations? And really think about that. The chief, the top, the best of the best is the United States in so many ways. Okay, but I'm going to be going over a little bit about the military and how powerful the United States military is. And their economy is still super, super strong. You know, they talk about, oh, the United States economy is falling. It ain't falling. It's still twice as big as any other economy in the world. Okay? So I want to start off with this article right here. It says, "Why is the United States the world's most powerful country?" Okay? Why is this? It says, "The United States is the world's only superpower, dominating the world's economic and political systems. With the strongest military and economy, the United States is capable of global power projection, giving it significant influence worldwide. Few countries dare oppose it." Okay? They dare oppose it. Okay? You can see how, I'm going to show you, this is the GDP. Basically, this is the economy and how big it is. You can read about it. There's a lot of different things that play into it. But this is the numbers that this basically shows how big the economy is. Okay, you see the United States right there at the top? 16,000 GDP. You got China right here at 9,000. So you see that it's the chief just in its economy. Okay, now here's an article. It says, "How much stronger is the U.S. military compared to the next strongest power?" Okay? It says, "No other military or combination of militaries could even begin to inflict a significant number of casualties on the United States military in a conventional warfare. The U.S. spends close to what the entire rest of the world spends on defense, $711 billion per year. The next closest is China at $143 billion. Okay? The M1 Abrams tank has seen more combat than just about every other tank on the battlefield today." Okay? Notice that. This one tank has seen more combat than any other battle tank that has been on a battlefield. It has never been knocked out by enemy fire. Completely killed, ever. Never. Okay? China has less than 500 Type 99 tanks that have just been developed and are not even close to being as great as the Abrams. We have 8,700 of these Abrams tanks. They only have 99 of them, and they're not even as close. Okay? It says, we have 10 aircraft carriers, the great kind. Everyone else has 10 combined. Okay? And they are mostly small ships that can launch helicopters. So, you know, just something you can launch a helicopter off. There are 8,400 helicopters in the world. The U.S. has 6,400 of them. The United States is in... Now listen to this. Pay attention to this. It says, the United States has engaged in every type of ground warfare in the last 20 years. Okay? From mountains to jungles to deserts to urban. We have some of the most experienced warriors in the world. No other country comes close to the amount of combat veterans that we have. We own all of the satellites that guide GPS systems. We have all of the advanced stealth technology, the latest sensors, the latest information systems. The Abrams tank can see a target. The tank commander can instantly send the target to every tank in his company, so a group of tanks. One tank sees it, instantly he can send that target to every tank, 15, 20 tanks, however many. Now you have 14 tanks looking at you. Oh. And it also uploads it to every Apache helicopter in the area. Every indirect and direct firing system in the area knows what you are and where you are. Your survivability just dropped to zero instantly. Fighting a conventional war against the U.S. would be like a three-year-old playing chess against a professional chess player. You wouldn't even know where you were, what you were supposed to be looking at. Okay? So you can see just there that there's no country that can actually, you know, stand up against or a series of countries that can stand up against this chief of the nations militarily wise. Okay? And here you can see some of the numbers. I showed these last time I spoke. You got all the different, and you notice the United States is at the top. Troops, spending, aircraft, tanks. Okay? It says, why the world remains the unchallenged superpower. Okay? It is still the world's leader in FDI. Now, FDI is a foreign direct investment. And basically what that is, we control more businesses out of our country than any other country. Okay? So there's another reason we're the top nation. We control more businesses that aren't in our country than any other country. At $180 billion. Okay? Remember, our GDP, our economy is $16 trillion, okay? Now, remember this because you think about how the House of Yahweh had to be established in this chief of nations, all the different sequence of events that had to fall in place for that to occur. You think about, you know, if the Catholic Church was allowed to get a foothold here in the United States when it was founded, you wouldn't have these laws such as freedom of speech, freedom of religion, that would allow us to teach these things here in the House of Yahweh. This is very important to the plan of Yahweh, that this was the chief of all nations, and it had to be this nation. No other nation could have done this. Okay? In the land that had no multitudes and numbers. Okay? It says, furthermore, who is going to challenge the United States for global leadership? The Europeans, the Japanese, the Russians? And then it goes on this long list of all the things that the reasons why those countries can't be the leadership, the world's leadership. Okay, and it's like three pages of just those three countries that it goes through why they can't. It says, as the old political saying goes, you can't beat someone with no one. And right now, there is no one on the horizon that will overtake or seriously challenge the United States, however ailing, for at least the next decade or two. Okay, so you can see how that just militarily wise and their economy wise, and that's just not all, you know, that they are the top nation of all nations. Okay, I want to show you this really quick. Right here, you can see, this is on Wikipedia, and what this is I googled, you know, what nations put out the most of everything, you know, oranges, grapes, whatever. Well, this is the United States list right here. It says largest arms exporter, largest military budget, largest aircraft carrier, largest cruisers, largest destroyers, largest, or the most nuclear-powered submarines, okay? So that's what we have the most in. We don't have a bunch of oranges like other countries and grapes and all this. We have military power, okay? And the whole world knows it, okay? And not only that, they know that the United States has the influence of the world, okay? We can influence any country in any way that we see that, you know, this is how things need to be directed. We have that power, okay? So remember this. Remember that all these things were brought about for the protection of the house of Yahweh in these last days. Without it, there would be no house of Yahweh. I mean, you can't have the house of Yahweh, freedom of religion, in other countries where you don't have the democracy and all the laws that allow Yahweh's house to grow and prosper in these last days and to get this message out to this dying world that, as you just seen, they're ready to kill each other. They think if they wipe everyone out that, hey, everything's going to be okay now. We just, oh, okay, well, there's only me left. I guess everything will be okay. Okay, you see the mindset of mankind that, you know, this way of continual war, vengeance, and retaliation that was spoken of in Genesis. You see it in their actions and their attitudes and the way the whole government is run. So with this, I want you to encourage you, stick with the house of Yahweh. It's the only place on this earth that can truly give you peace, joy, love, and abundant living. There's nothing out here in this world that can offer you that. They can offer you a gun and a knife to go kill your brother, but they can't offer you that true joy and peace. And with this, I'm going to go turn it over to the great priest of Yahweh, Kohen Yehuda.
Please be seated. I'll say shalom. I'm not in a rush, but I'm in a rush. If you please turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. I think I've already heard that this was to be brought out today. Well, don't let anyone fool you. It is. The point I'm trying to make is we need to move pretty quick. I don't want to hold anyone back or take anyone else's time. Where it says, therefore, this is talking about just after Yahshua left. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, it's talking about the time he was leaving. Make it clear. They asked him, saying, teacher, at this time will you restore the kingdom of Israel? They still think the nation of Israel was going to beat up on everybody and take over. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be witness to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, looking up there, I don't know, maybe even one of them had a telescope for all I know. And behold, two men stood by them clothed in white apparel. Now, when I was living in New York, when two guys coming in white apparel was around, that meant they were ready to take you to the mental ward. Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm not making fun of this. I'm just pointing out how confusing this scripture is. I hope you will bear with me on that. Who also said to him, you men of Galilee, why stand gazing up into heaven? This same Yahshua who is taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way you saw him come into heaven. Give me one. The word but that is written in Acts 1 verse 8 is translated from the Greek word alles in the Greek translations of this verse. A Greek and English lexicon of the New Testament, by Edward Robinson, page 32, shows this word is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word able or abal. And there it is. I circled it for you. Can you see it? Okay, I just want to make sure you get see it. Okay, let's go on. This word is listed on page 14 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, Julius I, which shows this word means able. It also means the righteous and those who reverence Yahweh, too. I got a great grammar man here. I'm not complaining at all. Okay, the word power that is written in Acts 1 verse 8 is translated from the Hebrew word gabar. This word is listed on page 447 in PDF of volume 1 of the Lingua Sacra by David Levi, chief rabbi of London at that time, which shows this word means dominion or rulership or authority. Show number 3. Please. These different PDF files have different size formatting, so the poor guy here has got to go up and down with the lens a little bit. The words Holy Spirit that are written in Acts 1 verse 8 are translated from the Hebrew word ruach. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, pages 205 and 1286 through 1287. So this word means able, the word of Yahweh. Okay, 4. Thanks. The word Jerusalem. Now, the books on this are so new, they don't have them in PDF file yet. Once they do, we'll have these available for you to see also. But the word Jerusalem that is written in Acts 1 verse 8 is translated from two Hebrew words, which are Yaru and Shalom. The Hebrew word Yaru is listed on page 46 of volume 2 of the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Kohler and Baumgartner, which shows this word means a priest who teaches or instructs. The Hebrew word Shalom that is listed on page 1533 of volume 4 of the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Kohler and Baumgartner, which shows this word means to keep peace. Okay. The word yada that is written in Acts 1 verse 8 is translated from the Hebrew word yada. This word is listed on page 549. Give me five, please. Page 549 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means praised is Yahweh. As you can see, it means somebody who praises Yahweh or the praise of Yahweh. Number 6, get it ready. The word Samaria that is written in Acts 1 verse 8 is translated from the Hebrew word Shamarun. This word is listed on page 727 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to keep the commandments of Yahweh. Number 6. Can you see it? Just want to make sure everybody sees it. The word behold that is written in Acts 1 verse 10 is translated from the Hebrew root word han, or its derivative hana. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means to behold, to see. To see. Do you see what I'm talking about? That doesn't mean you're looking inside of my throat or my brain or anything. It means do you understand? To understand. It also means of time. And in this case, we're in Acts 1 verse 10, you're going to understand it means a time yet to come. Show number 7, please. Thank you. The word Galilee that is written in Acts chapter 1 verse 11 is translated from the Hebrew root word galal. This word is listed on page 288 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means occasion. 8, please. Thank you. The words in the same way. Now, this is a big one. This is really big. The words in the same way that are written in Acts 1 verse 11 are translated from the Hebrew word yashar. And its derivative, Yisrael. This word is listed on page 336 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing dictionary by William L. Roy, which shows this word means to be to ruled, he prevailed with or as Yahweh. This is where Strong got his definition for Israel. He rules as Yahweh. It was from his colleague, William L. Roy, the Hebrew teacher at New York University, Harvard, and Princeton, according to the historians, from about 1850 to the year 1900. He was a pretty old fellow. Show number 9, and that's the last one. As you can see, he may have to adjust a tad, but the point I'm trying to make is these pictures are not all the same size. So this is what Acts 1, verses 6 through 11 is saying. And I was just as shocked as probably every one of you are. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Teacher, at this time will you restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Yahshua said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." Remember, scriptures and the prophets said, Yahweh will do things in his own time. And that's what Yahshua said here. Verse 8. "At Abel you will receive authority once the word of Yahweh has come to you. For Yahweh's two priests who teach peace." And I have talked to people that knew Pastor's brother Jacob. And the man was a man of peace and taught it. So there were two of them, just as the prophets say. And all who reverence Yahweh and all who keep Yahweh's laws will bear witness to the uttermost end of the earth. And that's what we are doing. We are bringing the witness of the work of Jacob and Israel, the peaceful solution, to everywhere on this planet. And as Pastor has told you, their time is coming. For many of you, you'll still be alive, that you will be taking this. I'd like to know to such places as Mars. The name Mars in Latin means war. It's the god of war. If there are beings on that planet and they're living up to that planet's name, you'll have an interesting job in teaching them how to change that over. You go to Saturn. You go to Saturn. It's going to be interesting too. Saturn is the name of a goddess and immorality. You, brothers and sisters, are going to be teaching people that the only type of relationship is the right kind of relationship is a marriage before Yahweh and under His law. Nothing else will count. And when he had spoken, verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, they finally understood that two men clothed in white apparel would stand up for them." Remember Zechariah, Isaiah, and the other writings about Daniel, about the two prophets that would stand before Yahweh on your behalf? "Who also said, 'You men, why stand gazing up to heaven? It will come to pass this same Yahshua, who is taken up from you into heaven, will return to the one named Israel, as you saw him taken up into heaven.'" I told you 2 or 3 years ago, Yahweh is not going to Jerusalem. He's coming here. And that is in the book of Acts. I just want to make a statement two more, and I want to go so we can get this moving, so we can get the other speakers in. I wanted you to see that one thing in Greek to show you how deliberate this was to cover these things up. There are people out there, whether they worship God, Lord, Allah, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahovah, whatever, they know enough of the scriptures to know the work is to be at a place named Abel or Abilene. And they fight it tooth and nail out of pride. And they will hang on to a Greek or Latin translation just so they can justify the lies they want to live by. That's why I showed you that Greek, to show you how bad it is. I do not like Greek. I won't study with it. I only use it to find the Hebrew that was originally written in the New Testament. In reality, the Holy Scriptures are one testament from Genesis to Revelation. I'm not trying to change anything Pastor says. It's my honest belief he said it before himself. You have a song. You can't not understand the book of Deuteronomy unless you know 1 Timaiah and 2 Timaiah, or what used to be called Timothy. I agree. They all work together in the unity of the faith. And that's what it's all about. But may Yahweh bless your understanding. I do pray that what you heard is assuring. And I turn the service over to the next speaker. I do believe it's the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins. I didn't know he was coming.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. I got to hurry. I was supposed to tell you last week the Pope's going to be here in 37 days. But now we only have 30. That's what I'm going to talk to you today about. The Pope's occult agenda for Washington, D.C., New York, Philadelphia. I want to give you the itinerary of his visit. And I know I went over this before, but I want to do it again. By the way, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This is put out by the United States Conference of Bishops, and it shows the first date. He'll be arriving from Cuba, of all places, at Andrews Air Force Base on the 22nd of September. So in celebration of, or you know, wanting to know what's behind this, we looked up the 22nd here. Of September 9/22, and of course, void and emptiness. That's what's coming, because remember, he's a worthless horn, okay? And it's going to lead the world to an empty place, a waste, just like you saw in Genesis, where that word is used in Genesis chapter 1. Now, also in the Greek, the word means a weight, a burden. And it means a weight that carries personal and eternal significance for every one of us here. And not only us here in the house of Yahweh, but everyone in the world is going to be put to the test. It also means authority, burden, heaviness, weight, burden, trouble, load, and also means a weight equivalent to authority, to have authority and influence. Okay, remember these terms. I got to go through them rapidly. Also here you see through the notion of going down a load, abundance, authority, burdensome weight. Okay, and I'm sure he'll be talking about that burdensome stone called Jerusalem when he goes to the UN on the 25th. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. Right now we're talking about his arrival on the 22nd. Now on the 23rd, his... And by the way, this is in the Latin month of September, and I told you September means seven. Tuesday or Wednesday, the 23rd, which is the Day of Atonement for on the Hebrew calendar, not on our calendar. So don't you take the work day off, anybody. Ours begins on the night of the 23rd. But this will be their Day of Atonement. He'll be coming to an opening welcome ceremony at the White House. He'll also be canonizing another dead person, and so they can pray to somebody else that's dead. I won't get into that right now. I don't have time, but I want to show you. This is very interesting. 9:23 in the Greek, it means Barsabbas. I want to show you what that's from. It means son, and it's from these two words, son, which means, or ben, which means son, or bar. And then word number 6634, which means desired. And let me show you what he's desiring. It's from this word here, which means Saba, which means made war. Okay? This is what he's going to do. He's going to come to wage war, go or come forth against one. Well, who do you think he's coming against? He's coming against the house of Yahweh, but he's also coming against everyone that practices any form of holiness. Okay? This is going to be, he's going to bring his orders to declare war, and you'll see, Pastor will be explaining this in more detail. Now also 9:23 in the Hebrew, it's this word right here, porphyry. Porphyry. Well, what could that mean? Porphyry. Well, porphyry, it is a Greek term and it means purple. Purple. Now remember the city of Seven Hills arrayed in purple. Remember that? Keep that in your mind. Now I want to read you about, it says, the purple was the color of royalty and the imperial porphyry was a deep purple igneous rock with large crystals of plagioclase. The rock was the hardest known in antiquity and was prized for monuments and building projects in imperial Rome. Okay, now guess where they got this? They used to bring this rock, this porphyry, all the way from, let me show you here. It says, Pliny's Natural History affirmed that the imperial porphyry had been discovered at an isolated site in Egypt in AD 18 by a Roman legionary named Calcius Comnenus something. I'm sorry, I flunked my Latin, thankfully. Well, actually, I probably needed it. It says, all the porphyry columns, these purple columns, the red porphyry togas on busts of emperors, the porphyry panels in the revetment of the Pantheon, you know, all the gods, as well as all the altars of Rome and the vases and fountains in the Renaissance and dispersed as far as Kiev, all came from one quarry from the Mons Papyri something in Egypt. So this city is not only rich, filthy rich, but they're also dressed in purple stone. Okay? So you can add that to your vocabulary. And remember, Yahweh is going to expose all the secrets in these last days. Purple. Okay, so, and by the way, it also had the meaning of white. Remember, he's going to the White House. Now, here's his next stop. As I said, I have to go through this kind of quick. His next stop is Washington, D.C. on Thursday, the 24th of September, in New York City. Now, let's see. Yeah, that's where he's going to address the joint session of the United States Congress in the Temple of Jupiter. I mean, on the Capitoline, I mean Capitol Hill. Okay? Now, as I said, I don't have, let me show you first of all the names of the, or 924 and its meaning. It's from 1247 and 2931. It means son of Timaeus. It also has the meaning of unclean. It's from 1249, and it means a minister or a teacher. Remember, that's what he is. He's Satan's teacher. And it's from this word, one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master. Now, the Pope's bringing the commands that he was given, and he's giving these orders to the United States Congress, to the United States Congress, both the Republicans and Democrats. And Pastor, I'm sure, will be talking about that. Remember, Pastor told us that first, that he's bringing these commands. And it's from this word here, 1377, and it means to pursue, to persecute. Well, who do you think he's persecuting? Who do you think? Remember the woman that fled in the wilderness? And he's pursuing her, and he's persecuting her, knowing he has but a short time. Remember? A short time. He knows he has a short time, and they know what time it is in the world. Okay? They know what time it is. I'm going to prove it to you. It means to harass, to pursue in a hostile matter, to harass, trouble, molest, to persecute, to pursue, to seek after eagerly, and earnestly endeavor to acquire. Yes, they're earnestly endeavoring to acquire the wealth. This whole world, in fact, is what they want. Now remember, here's the other definition of 924 from the Hebrew, and it means haste, like hurry. And it means, from this word, it means alarm, haste. This is word number 927, where it comes from. And also from 926, which means hasten and hurry. Also terrify. Now, he's going to the Capitol. Now, I want you to understand something about our Capitol in D.C. The Temple of Jupiter in Rome was on the Capitoline Hill, okay? The Temple of Jupiter, and remember, the Pope is Jupiter, okay? And he is the father of the gods. He is, remember, Satan is the mother of God. She was the first god. She started all the gods. All the gods came from her, okay? It says, the Temple of Jupiter, best and greatest on the Capitoline, was the most important temple in ancient Rome, located on the Capitoline Hill. It was surrounded by the Area Capitolina, a precinct where certain assemblies met, and numerous shrines, altars, and statues and victory trophies were displayed. Now, when did they build this thing? When was this temple built? Well, traditionally, it says the temple was dedicated on September 13th. Now, remember, September 13th next month is the first day on the Hebrew calendar of their new year, because they go by Rosh Hashanah. They don't go by Day of Atonement. We do. But their year begins on September 13th. And guess how old this temple will be on September 13th next month? It was founded in 509 BCE in the Roman Republic. That's 2525. Think 525277. Think 252550, liberty. Remember? 50 years, proclaim the liberty. Think about all these things. It's very significant. All right, Jupiter, you can read more about this in the Unveiling Satan book. I brought it up here for your viewing enjoyment. Unveiling Satan by the great Pastor Israel Hawkins, Her True Identity Revealed, on page 242 and 43, talks about Jupiter and the hills that were named after Jupiter. Now, let's see, let me get pass that up. Now, what's the significance of Jupiter? I mean, the Capitol building there. If you all remember, in the Capitol, on the rotunda, we have Jupiter, I mean, George. But George is playing Jupiter here. Okay, Jupiter, right here, dressed in purple, because Jupiter always wore purple. Let me show you. And come back to that in a second. Let me show you George Washington and that in the apotheosis of George Washington. George Washington was deified as a god. But what god was he deified as? Well, by the way, George means earth. Geo means like geometry, you know, like Freemasonry. Geo, George, and even Jorge in Spanish. Remember the Pope, Jorge? Right? Him and George have a lot in common. They're both war generals, and they both are Jupiter. Watch this. Now, if you don't think that humans use men and call them different gods, remember in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 10 through 16, where they called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Shaul Mercury because he was the speaker, Hermes, remember that? They always deified men as gods. Okay, now, according to Strong's, Jupiter can also be understood as Zeus. Okay, the people of America wanted to deify George Washington as Jupiter and Zeus. George Washington is portrayed as the god Jupiter in the apotheosis of Washington, which was a variation of a statue portraying Washington as Zeus. There's another... The missionary team can show you there's another statue of Washington. I couldn't show it. He doesn't have his shirt on, but he looks like Zeus, okay? Now, on either side of Washington are the goddess Liberty and a figure of a goddess representing a composite of victory and fame. All three are seated on a rainbow. Now, watch this. Because this... somewhere over the rainbow thing is going to start making some sense. See the rainbow here? And they're all seated over the rainbow. Do you remember the rainbow we saw with Pastor right in the center, just like you see here? Last feast at Passover? Pastor wasn't over the rainbow. Pastor was right in the center of the rainbow. But remember, Satan wants to lift herself above the clouds. Remember Genesis 9:13, like September 13th, 9:13, he said, I will set my bow in the cloud. Read it for yourself, okay? Now, they know these things, and I can't get too deep into it right now, but this is Jupiter, okay? That's on the 24th. On the 25th, he's going to the UN, and we were warned back on May 13, 2014, by the French foreign minister, we have 500 days to avoid climate chaos. Count it on your, go back and count it on your calendar. 500 days from May 13, 2014 is September 25th of this year. Exactly. Okay? Now, what does he mean by avoiding climate chaos? So 9:25, I'm almost done. 9:25, it means to be bright, shining, bright, like Nakash, the shining one in Genesis 3, the serpent, okay? And remember, this year in the UN, what year is it? The year of light, the year of light, okay? And I'm hoping to get into that very soon now because you're going to be amazed at what the world knows about this and how this has all been planned out. It means bright, brilliant of light. And also, 9:25 in, I think this is Hebrew, it means to burden, to weigh down, to overcharge. And yes, he's bringing the sustainable development agenda, and it's going to be a burden on all nations. And I'm going to tell you, as it shows you here, it's going to be a heavy burden, grievous to be borne, that's going to be laid on this world, okay? Not only is it going to burden, be a burdensome weight, one of the meanings in here shows that it's also going to burden your freedom, where you're not going to have any freedom to even move without being known where you're going. I don't have time to get into that right now, but I do want to tell you, my time is up, and I want to just encourage you. We'll be talking about this hopefully a little more later. I was a little bit rushed today. But keep these things in your mind. Know that there's an agenda behind this. Know that there's an occult agenda behind this. And that they know exactly what they're doing. Oh, by the way, when they go to Philadelphia on the 27th, he's going to Philadelphia. And you know what the meaning of Philadelphia is, right? Brotherly love. Let's see, the 27th, that's going to be... He's going on Saturday and Sunday to Philadelphia. But the brotherly love, of course, you know, we know they don't even know what love is. Let me just show you this picture real quick. I have a feeling what it has to do with is this Delphi right here in Greece and the goddess Gaia, where the word gay came from. Okay, think about this. Gaia and the oracles of Delphi and the god Apollo. All this will be explained as we move along. Right now, I got to move along. But may Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, I'd like to introduce to you the great Kohan Ilya Hawken.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Now, keep in mind as we discuss the news today, keep in mind Matithiah chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, where the disciples had came to Yahshua and asked of what would be the time of his return. And he said that you would see nation rise against nation. There would be famines, disease, epidemics. There would be earthquakes in place after place. And think about that as we discuss what's going to be shown in the news today. We're going to start off with wildfires in abundance due to drought. They have so many wildfires going on. They're running out of money. Now, think about that. We have money for war, but we're running out of money to fight fires. And there's nothing they can do to stop these wildfires. They're out of control and they're trying, but millions of acres have been lost. Of course, we need rain to stop these things, but we'd have to address why we don't have rain. And then an article coming out about West Texas, that one of the articles said Central Texas, but it's more West Texas, and it's about the Akalula Aquifer. The Akalula Aquifer, and they're finding traces of uranium in it that could lead to cancer. It's deadly. They're even saying up in Lubbock and Amarillo that when you drill a well, you need to test your water. Test it for uranium. Now, this is coming from fertilizers being put on, commercial fertilizers being put down on the ground, going through the soil, and now it's in the water supply of the wells. Now, here we test our wells, and we've always tested our wells to make sure that they stay safe. And that's something that we encourage everyone to do. If you drill a well, test it. Make sure your water's safe. And then China, watch how much that their say-so in devaluing their currency. They're very smart with what they're doing. They're not losing money or making their country less worthless. They're actually bringing down the world economy. Even what they're doing is bringing down the price of oil to where you're most likely to see gasoline go below $2 a gallon. But that's how much control China has. And then watch carefully what John Kerry says in dealing with this Iranian deal, which, remember, China, Russia, and Iran, they all deal together. Remember the BRICS banking system. Think about that. And then remember and notice the urgency on John Kerry's face when he says the American dollar is about to crash. It's about to crash. I want to show you something very quickly. This right here, let me get it zoomed out here. This is $5,000 in Jamaica. In 1978, that would have been worth $5,450 U.S. dollars. Today, it's worth $42. If the dollar was to crash and you were to face what countries have faced, it's not rare, a loaf of bread would be $380 and a tank of gas would cost you a little over $7,600. Make sure you consider what's important to you and plan accordingly. Don't just think it's always going to be there. We know these things are going to crumble. We see it. We know we've been brought it. Scripture shows it's going to crumble. North Korea also threatens South Korea. They're already shooting at South Korea. They're supposed to have talks this morning, but they're threatening South Korea with war, with nuclear attack, if they don't refrain from, they're calling it propaganda. And then painkillers are now linked. We brought out the last few weeks how it's linked to heroin addiction, but now they're linking it to homicide, saying that certain painkillers affect the central nervous system and causes confusion of the mind, and it's actually linking it to homicide. And then last but not least, we want to make sure, pay close attention and think about over a period of time, we're going to show how King Abdullah, that was the king that recently passed away. He was king of Saudi Arabia. He met with Pope Benedict in 2006. And I want to read this to you and listen to it carefully so you'll understand what's taking place in Yemen, because Yemen is suffering due to what's taking place. It says, the Holy See and Saudi Arabia relations do not officially exist. However, there have been some important high-level meetings between Saudi and the Holy See officials in order to discuss issues and organize dialogue between religions. In November 2007, King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia visited the Vatican in a historic movement which signaled the end to the 1,400-year-old chill in relations between Saudi Arabia and Vatican leaders. Proposals have been made to build a church, notice that, proposals have been made to build a church somewhere in Saudi Arabia, citing the ancient 7th century Nahara Pact made by Muhammad to Christian residents of Arabia. So he's citing, the Pope is citing, saying, you've said you would do this, you need to honor what you said. Now Pope Benedict, in a diplomatic corps meeting in 2011, speaking to the diplomats who actually connect themselves to the Vatican, these leaders, they come in. This is what Pope Benedict actually said. He said, finally, I would like to state once again that the right to religious freedom is not fully respected when only the freedom of worship is guaranteed. With that and with restrictions, furthermore, I encourage the accompaniment of the full safeguarding of religious freedom and other human rights by programs. Now notice, this is what he wants, by programs which begin in primary school and with the context of religious instructions. We'll educate everyone, he says, to respect their brothers and sisters in humanity. Regarding the states of the Arabian Peninsula, where numerous Christian immigrants work and live, I hope that the Catholic Church will be able to establish a suitable pastoral structure. And he's speaking of a church. He's speaking of putting it there. And remember where Mecca is at. That is the most holy site to Muslims. And what you see here, where this taking place, now of course King Abdullah died, but an ambassador was sent to meet with Pope Francis. And of course, they had a meeting in secret. They had their discussions on what they were to do. And then, of course, Yemen has suffered suffered devastation. You see, Pope Francis, now he's standing back saying that we need to do something for these poor children in Yemen. We should all say a prayer for them. But I want you, don't turn your heads when you see these children. Look at it. You see the Catholic Church. You see the hate. You see the devastation. And remind yourself, this is all being done according to a plan of hatred to reject the laws of Yahweh. At this time, if we could please play the news. This time, if everyone will please stand, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Shalom, everyone!
Hey, you're looking great. Yahweh, they're looking great. There you go. Hey, Yahweh, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The news is looking great. Just according to prophecy, it is looking really great. Yes. It won't be long. It won't be long now. The food supplies, there's so many things now in question about this. If you want to add anything to your personal food supplies, I'd say you need to get it done quickly. Remember this one thing, and when it concerns you in the house of Yahweh, Yahweh is in total control, and I do believe that 100%. Praise Yahweh. Also, if you notice the information that the great deacon Toby Greenwich brought out about the United States, this is showing, of course, that the United States is in, they're the chief of the nations. Just like Yahweh said in the prophecy concerning the house of Yahweh, if they wasn't the chief of the nations, we wouldn't be here. If that was a false prophecy, we wouldn't be here. The Sabbath and the Ten Commandments that the Pope is changing. And the information comes out. Of course, there's people saying that's fraud. They're frauds themselves. I'll show you that, prove it to you. But the Catholic Church is great. And Malachi Martin, I brought this out to you, and you got to remember this. Whether they carry through with their things that they, the propaganda that they put out or not, you know, that doesn't mean the man is lying that told this on them. It means the Catholic Church put this out to get a feel from the people as to how many would support it and how many would not support it. How many people it would actually turn away from the Catholic Church if they do this. Now, if the numbers weigh out, they'll go ahead and do it. If the numbers don't weigh out, you know, they'll back off for a while, just like they did with sodomy. And, you know, they've come so far now with sodomy in this generation, getting it in all the schools and even through the Supreme Court of America. Remember that. It's, you know, we have it in writing. It's in the book, The Mark of the Beast. It's in more than that later. We brought it out stronger in sermons after that, but it's in the Yisrael Says program. You can look it up. But and I'll try to show you next week. I don't have time because I want to cover some other stuff this week. But I could show you next week the Ten Commandments have already been changed several times.
the name Yahweh and Yahshua was removed from the Holy Scriptures. They admit they did it. They admit they changed the laws. It used to be, remember, the seventh day, Sabbath, to keep it holy. It's not that anymore. Find me a Catholic keeping the seventh day Sabbath at the house of Yahweh. That it has to be kelp at the house of Yahweh. Did you know that before it's kelp at all? Praise Yahweh. You can't find them. They changed it, and they're going to stick with that change. None of them, they're not going to repent. Revelations, the ninth chapter, shows that they will not repent of their works of their hands, nor their worship of the demons, serpent, and the divining serpent that she set up. They're not going to change. The Pope is going to visit here. I'm going to save this our work. It's very, very exciting this is going out to the world. You can see this is Yahweh's efforts. Other doors are being opened to us that you're going to marvel when you see it. Praise Yahweh. I actually want to speak to our world leaders in America, the congressmen, the senators, the House of Representatives, and of course the Supreme Court. The Pope is going to make his visit with you very soon, and with orders, of course, from the Vatican, from the divining serpent. That's what the word Vatican means, the divining serpent. If you haven't looked it up yet, the word Vatican literally means divining serpent and is derived from Vatus, diviner, can, serpent. Vatican City and St. Peter's Basilica were built on the ancient pagan site called Latin Vaticanus, Mons, M-O-N-S, and Vaticanus Collis, which means hill or mountain of prophecy. Hill or mountain of prophecy. They know it means hill, too. Seven hills of Rome. Anyway, he's going to be visiting you government leaders, and I want you to know that Daniel actually spoke of you in this meeting right here for this time period, and what's going to take place afterwards. Daniel is actually shows you, if you just believe your scriptures, he actually shows you that this meeting, if you turn over to Daniel, we'll start with there, but Daniel, the seventh chapter. But Daniel spoke of you and you in this time period, the last generation, as Yahshua called it, the generation of when rebellion would actually be taken from the earth. It started with the serpent, as I've brought out many times in Genesis 5 and verse or 3, 1 through 5, and it shows the serpent there deceiving Eve. This is something that the scholars have never understood. The house of Yahweh is the only one on earth that knows this and can answer these questions, and praise Yahweh, and we're going to answer them. I'm getting up to it. And you're going to have, if you want to understand it, there's some things you've got to do to understand it. But you can if you'll just get the sermons and get the Israel Hawkins Says program. You've got to put some effort into it, or you won't understand it. I can guarantee you that. Scholars have studied this for years and never understood it. They can't understand it because Yahweh shows a way that they can, and they haven't followed it yet. But in Daniel 7, we see here this empire that that was built on the seven hills of Rome. It was actually started in Israel, and then the one that owned the Roman army plucked up three other religions and transplanted them. That's what Daniel shows here in chapter 7. If you look at verse 8, he said, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots." This right here, it shows, as one of the farmers told me, he said he looked this up after I told him about it, and he said, "This means transplanting, like you'd transplant a tree." Well, of course, the three that he plucked up was the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. The Herodians owned the Roman army, and they're the ones that was building the Roman army in Rome and also in Babylon. And they were building it with Hebrew soldiers that were leaving Israel, some of them under captivity. But if you remember, Daniel was one of those people that was taken in captivity to Rome. And, of course, that shows you there in that time period when he was taken, the king in Babylon was wanting the best of the best to serve in his army or to lead his army. And he was in hopes that Daniel and his three men that was with him that were also very strong leaders, he was in hopes that they would lead his army. He could enlist them because they were very smart people, very smart young men. So he wanted them, and of course they paid top wages for soldiers and took care of their soldiers and promised them on retirement a lot of the wealth that they took in their roving army, with their roving army, promised them a lot of this wealth. This is the way this Roman army was built, on promises and, of course, lying divinations. But none of it carried through. All it was war and killing, robbery, thievery. But anyway, this Herodians that owned the Roman army stood on the part of these religions, as Daniel 11:31 shows. The army stood on his part, and they put the Lord of Heaven in the sanctuary that was Yahweh's, the house of Yahweh. They installed that first, but they never could conquer Israel because the laws of Yahweh was being read to them daily. And that's how powerful the laws of Yahweh are. Once they're heard, once they're heard, you know, the people's ears are closed right now. And Yahweh has to open them, and he shows that in Scripture. "No one can come unto me unless the Spirit of the Father draws him to me." Now, that's what Yahshua said. The saying is still true. Well, the reason you're here is Yahweh drew you to me in these last days. But he says in verse 8 here, he says he sees this uprooting take place, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking real great things. This great things here, if you look on over on down to verse 10, notice the last part there. He says the judgment was set. The judgment was set. You see that? And the books were opened. Well, the only place you could understand what he's talking about here is Revelations. That's the only place in all the scriptures that explained this. Now, it was set up under by Jethro with Moshe. Yahweh had given it to him. He gave it to Abel before him. But you can't understand those two books without the finishing touch that Yahshua himself without that prophecy that Yahweh gave Yahshua, Revelations 1:1, Yahweh gave that prophecy to Yahshua to explain to us the things that must shortly come to pass. Us, I have sent my messenger to tell you these things in my house, the house of Yahweh. Remember where that is? Okay. If you don't, look it up and memorize it. Revelations 22, your last book. Last chapter of Revelation. But notice now verse 10. All of you congressmen, senators, president. You know, the president's already told you, you need to read the Holy Scripture. You really do. More than you ever thought you did. Much more. You really need to read these Holy Scriptures. In the Holy Scriptures right now, something is fixing to take place with the Pope and you. And this is going to bring to the finish. This is the start of the finish of Yahweh's plan from the beginning. Praise Yahweh. Verse 11, he says, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. Now this horn, of course, every scholar now knows that this horn right here, the little horn, is the Pope, the spokesman for the Roman Empire. The great, they called it the Holy Roman Empire. And as evil as they are, they still believe they're holy. And they believe the gods are going to win out over Yahweh. That is their belief. They believe Satan and the gods are going to win out. And of course, they're actually named. They're named the Divining Serpent. And we'll get more on deeper into that. He says, I beheld them because of the voice. That word there, if you look it up, it means proclamation. If you've ever been to Washington and watched them put in laws, to pass laws, you can go there and see them do this. And you can see the law. Somebody will scan through it and propose it. Then somebody else will say, yes, I think this needs to be passed, and he'll brag on it some. And then another one will come and tell you the damage this law is going to bring. And if you look at what he's saying here, he's saying the proclamation of the word great means many, of many. The Hebrew word that's translated words there means laws. So he says this organization here is coming from this fourth beast. And the fourth beast, of course, is the leader of the kings of the earth today. They're the ones that pass the laws. Why is he going to Washington? Well, he's going to lay them down another group of laws. You know how many laws there are in the United States right now? You got a new set coming, of course. They won't speak over the phone because they know it can be tapped. They've got to send the representative to Saudi Arabia to tell them what to do next month. Well, you saw what they're doing, what Saudi Arabia is doing. You saw the agreement and the kissing and shaking hands. Shaking hands. I don't know if you know what shaking hands means. I know it because it was taught to me as a child. When you shake hands on a deal, you keep the deal. And that shows your character. If you don't keep the deal, then you have no character. And you're a weak man, and the word gets out that man is weak, and you can't depend on anything he says. I was so surprised later on when I finally grew up, and I'd make deals with people and think, I don't have to write this down. I shook hands on it. And then the man back out later. And I was shocked. I couldn't believe that there's anyone that would shake hands on a deal and not keep it, you know. But things change. Many failed efforts to count nations' federal crime laws. Now, this shows the history of it and trying to count it. See, they've been trying to count this more than you can number. You can't count them. There are so many. So they guess at them. In 1982, while at Justice Department, Mr. Grainer oversaw what still stands as the most comprehensive attempt to tote up a number. That's the laws. It's the federal laws he's talking about. Just the federal laws. The effort came as part of a long and ultimately failed campaign to persuade Congress to revise the criminal code, which by 1980 was scattered among 50 titles. 50 titles, and get this now, 23,000 pages of federal law. And you thought 613 was a lot of laws? This is pages, 23,000 pages of federal law. That's the reason you can't find you can find a family doctor, I guess. I think they still have them. But you can't find a family law, a lawyer. There is no one in the United States over the age of 18 who cannot be indicted and thrown in prison for some federal crime. And he didn't even know he broke the law. Did you get that? You're all a bunch of criminals. Every one of them. If you're 18 years old, you could be put in a prison right now. And not even know when they arrest you what you're guilty of. There is no one, he says, in the United States over the age of 18 who cannot be indicted for some federal crime. And said John Baker, a retired Louisiana State University law professor who has also tried counting the number of new federal crimes created in recent years. Created in recent years. This is what Daniel was talking about. That is not exaggeration, he says. This is not exaggeration. How many federal laws are they again? Many new criminal offenses also are deeply flawed. Many federal crime laws make it possible for the government to convict someone, even if he acted unknowingly or without criminal intent. People who do their best to remain law-abiding members of society can no longer be confident that they are safe from prosecution. You know the reason this was set up by the divining serpent? Because if someone disagrees, as long as he works, stays in line with what they want you to do, then you're fine. But if he disagrees, they can bring that man to court with laws that that he didn't even know he broke. And they can reach back into his past and get those laws, have him indicted, and his reputation ruined. And that's what the man, this is our government officials that are actually putting this out to us and saying this needs to change drastically. Of course, they weren't the ones that set this up. This organization was set up by the divining serpent and is set up for that reason, to put people away who won't agree. Number of documents published in the Federal Registry, the final number, since 1976 to 2014, the number of new ones now, 187,924. Did you get that number? From the start of 2000 now, from the start of 2000 through 2007, Congress had created at least 452 new crimes, so that at that time the total number of federal crimes exceeded 4,450 new ones. Well, here is Daniel now, and he's looking into the future here. He's looking into this generation that the Savior spoke of in Matthew 24. And Matthew was showing that because of iniquity, love had grown cold, and there's hatred among the nations and among the people, and this is what we're seeing today. But Daniel looked at this time period. He was shown this time period of this fourth beast. He's speaking of this fourth beast. Keep that in mind. And this fourth beast stays in operation all the way down to the coming, when the governments that are left alive after the nuclear wars, when those governments are given to the saints of the Most High, Yahweh. He says, "Behold, I beheld then, because of the proclamation of the great, of the many laws which the horn spoke." That is, which he passed, he proclaimed. He put it through Congress. Remember, if the Catholic Church don't want a law passed, all he's got to do is say how many Catholics, tell the congressmen, the senators, the representatives, our lawmakers, tell them, "I've got this many people that don't want this law passed. I've got this many people that want this law passed, so you make sure you get it passed." "I beheld until the beast was slain," which means this divining serpent is going to be slain. Yes. "And his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." So here he's speaking now the same thing that Yahshua spoke of in Matthew 24, when he said the sun is going to be darkened. There's going to be great tribulation in this generation, verses 21 and 22. And then he says the sun is going to be darkened. That's verse 29, Matthew 24, verse 29. It's going to be darkened by this burning flame. This speaking of nuclear burning, not the forest burning in Oregon and California and so forth. That's not going to block out the sun. What he's talking about, the only thing the scientists know is that when these bombs are exploded, that sun is going to disappear. And unless Yahweh stepped in at that moment to save his house, then we would be dead too. And Yahweh says, for the elect's sake, Yahweh will step in at that moment. And Yahshua says, when you see these things, now you'd be an idiot not to see these things right now. I mean, they're all clear. There's no love left in the world. You see a pope kissing babies that couldn't care less for the baby. You see a pope making deals and smiling if he's getting his way. This is what you see, the Santa Claus end of it. The disagreeable part you see with bombs being dropped, children blown apart, children mourned without heads, without arms, and so forth. All of this right here is the results of this beastly system that's in power right here, the leader of the kings, that is, the religions of the earth. The leader of the religions of the earth, all following this group. You say, well, the Muslims are not following them. Yes, the Muslims are following them. They're letting them pull them into war. They let them pull them into fighting. And, of course, this is where they fail. They don't have Yahweh with them. They don't have, they're not the house of Yahweh, so they have no protection. If we didn't have protection, brother, we wouldn't be here right now. If Yahweh hadn't been protecting his house, they would have destroyed it like they destroyed the one at Waco. That was just using, trying to keep the feast and using the name Yahweh. Or the one up north where they shot the woman and they shot the baby in the woman's arms. What were they trying to prove there? How cruel they were? What does it mean to cut off a man's head with a knife? What are they saying that means? Well, when you shoot a baby, a suckling baby, through the head, when the mother is holding that baby in the arms, what are you trying to show the world? This was something they wanted to show the world. Don't use the name Yahweh. Don't keep any appointments with Yahweh anymore. That's what they're saying to you. That's the message that comes forth. Commandments? The Pope has the power to change the commandments. That's what they say. That's what they tell you. He has authority. Well, he doesn't get it from Yahweh. You remember who gives him that authority? Do you remember, you six-year-olds? You remember who gives him that authority? Revelations 13, first verse. The dragon, the divining serpent. The dragon, that old serpent called the Satan and the devil. That's who gives this authority to this kingdom right here, this agency. As concerning the rest, now verse 12, look at, well, that was verse 11. No, I want to show you something else here. I want to show you something else. Many laws. I want you, before we go to verse 11, I want to, you to go to Psalms 90. Psalms chapter 90. And I think that's 94, but I got 90 written down. 94, yes, it's 94. 94, and look at verse 20. Now, congressmen, representatives, you elected officials, presidents, all over the world, religions, compare Daniel with Psalms 94, and look at verse 20. Can the throne of iniquity, he's asking you that, be reasonable? What is iniquity? It's doing away with the law. Who told you you could do away with the law? The divining serpent. He's the one that changed the Sabbath to begin with. This same divining serpent, according to Jeremiah, that's King James Version, his real name was Jeremiah, that same divining serpent took the name from the Holy Scriptures, took the name Yahweh, and Yahshua changed all the prophets' names that had the name Yahweh in it, and they admit it. It's in the catechisms of the Catholic Church. If you look at the same catechisms of the Catholic Church, you'll see how they changed the commandments. The man that wrote the article and said he's going to take it, the Pope was going to take out another commandment, the one that says adultery, because it includes sodomy, he's going to take it out and do away with it. He's already done it. Can't you see that? The Supreme Court just said, let's follow the Pope's orders here and take this commandment out of the den. What I started to tell you a while ago, when the Vatican, Malachi Martin brought this out, in his book, The Keys of This Blood, and also in his interview, they use propaganda. They're the world's best at using psychology. They study it all the time. Satan is an expert at it. And she's also an inspiration, their inspiration. That's who they think is going to win out. Her name is Mary. Yes, Mother Mary. She's condemned by the prophet Jeremiah, or Jeremiah if you have a King James Version. Read it for yourself in Jeremiah 44 and 45. And also Yekiskia. That's Ezekiel. Well, he asked you the question, can the throne of iniquity, what is the throne of iniquity? The throne of iniquity is the throne that Satan gave the divining serpent, the Vatican. The word throne, you got to get this word. The word throne, it's the chair of state of a sovereign or high dignitary as a bishop. Bishop, did you get that? This is the word throne. It's a seat. It's the seat of a deity. The seat of a deity. And it's given to man. This is what the word throne. Can the throne of iniquity, which contrives evil, which contrives evil by law? Do you get that? Read it in your own book of Yahweh. Psalms 94, verse 20. Can the throne of iniquity is doing away with the law. What does all Christian preachers tell you today? The law is done away with. All you have to do is believe. Well, that says it plain and simple. Can they that's talking with such ignorance, that's committing iniquity themselves with their own tongues? I'm talking about Christian preachers saying the laws are done away with. That's iniquity. And he asked them, can the throne of iniquity which contrives evil, you remember the word evil? Hey, do you remember the word evil? Genesis 3, verse 5. Go this route, practice sin, and you'll have the knowledge of righteousness and evil. Evil like the gods. Not righteous like Yahweh. Yahweh said to Cain, if you practice righteousness, you will be like me. You will be acceptable for my kingdom. If you practice righteousness. If you harbor in your heart or mind evil, you've committed it already in your heart. And you're proven you're unacceptable for the kingdom. The one thing about Abel that set him apart from Cain was his offering, which is you. Yes, Abel. Abel means life. The last Abel that the scriptures, the apostles talk about, gives life. Yes. Not only that, we're going to resurrect the dead. That's what it's speaking of here. Well, Daniel is speaking now. If you remember there in Daniel 7, he's speaking of the Pope coming here and the laws that's already been passed by this divining serpent already. When I say divining serpent, I mean Vatican that sits on the seven hills of Rome. That's what your Bible says in Revelation 17. Revelation 17. It sits on seven hills. There's no other place that sits on city that sits on seven hills that leads the kings of the earth. And verse 18 said this is that she's a city. This woman, it's a city that sits on seven hills. That's leader of the kings of the earth. The Pope is not going to come here and kiss the senator's babies in Washington. The Pope has a message to deliver from the divining serpent. Laws. Laws that they can pass to put more control on more people. What if he says you can't keep the Sabbath day? The seventh day Sabbath day. You better brace yourselves. And you better get to believing in what Yahweh told you in that dream he gave me, that he is in control. And he also shows you your only protection. The only protection you're ever going to have is with him. Nobody outside this. They're going to be burned and not any seed of them left. Seed, if you become one of their seed, you won't make it through into this new world. It would be better to give up your life fighting for Yahweh's laws, because I'll resurrect you if you do. But look at this again now. Can the throne of iniquity which contrives evil? Evil is breaking the law. Who contrives evil by law have fellowship with you? They bend themselves together against the lives of the righteous and condemns the innocent to death. This has been going on for 6,000 years. It's still going on. That's what occurred at Waco with the Branch Davidians that was keeping the Sabbath and using the name Yahweh. You can't use the name Yahweh in the United States. And that's the point they were getting across. But Yahweh has been our defense. You get that? Now, he's telling you something here, if you'll just look at this closely and know that he is in control, and this is the protected place. Oh, I would I could stress that more. You know, I know people are going to get caught like Aaron did. Someone asked the question a few years ago, you know, well, why didn't Yahweh, since Moshe didn't want to go to Egypt, why didn't he just send Aaron? Well, he answered that question, I said. He answered it later. Well, what was that? Well, remember the golden calf? You know, Aaron was great for a while, but when he was put under pressure and Moshe wasn't there to lead him, the one sent wasn't there to lead him. Did you hear what I said? He folded. Remember the golden calf? You know what the golden calf is? Well, the world doesn't. The commentators don't. They don't know what it was. The golden calf, you want me to tell you? It's similar to the goose that laid the golden eggs. It's a Christianity religion that brings in money. That's exactly what they turned back to, the Coptic religion of Egypt, that kept Christmas and sold toys, that colored Easter eggs and told them for a dollar apiece. I could hardly buy two of them for my kids to go hunting. And then somebody stepped on one of them. I guess God wasn't watching what he was doing. No, it wasn't a calf that came out of that mess while Moshe was gone. It was rebellion. The same rebellion that you see in Daniel being described right here, and passing laws that you can't keep appointments with Yahweh anymore. You're going to have to worship the Lord now and keep the Lord's Day. You know what their catechisms of the Catholic Church says there? Remember the Lord's Day. That's what it says. Remember the Lord's Day to keep it holy. Well, the Lord can't give life, I know that. Only Yahweh promised you eternal life, and he only promises you this if you stand strong like Moshe, not give in like Aaron did when he was faced with people saying, you know, Moses is probably dead, he probably fell off of that mountain. What mountain? What are you talking about? Where? They can't even get that straight. But Yahweh has been our defense. Now, he's showing you his protection right here, if you'll just look at it closely. Yahweh has been our defense. Has he not been our defense, so far? I remember after they tried to come in and kill us, then they tried to arrest us, and so forth. I remember all of this. And now we're reaching the world like Matthew 24:14 said we would. Yahweh has been our defense. Our Father has been the rock of our refuge. You bring upon them their own iniquity. And that's what he's doing. He's showing them exactly what iniquity brings. He's letting them bring it on themselves. And that's what the Pope is going to Washington for, to tell them the iniquity that he expects them to enforce. It won't be the laws of Yahweh that he's going to be teaching in Washington. You can bet on that. The Pope has already been told to tell people, you cannot teach morality. And he's voiced that around big time. That we've got to get rid of people. We've got to stop them from teaching morality. Because this condemns someone else. And they should have democracy. They should be free to go out and get AIDS and give it to their children. Their children, they have the right to make their children deformed. They have the right to confuse their own minds so they'll go to the schools and do shootings and theaters to do shootings. He didn't tell the full story. He just said, these people, you're denying their rights. Their rights to sin is what he's talking about. It couldn't be any clearer what's coming forth from the divining serpent. You bring upon them their own iniquity. That's what Yahweh is allowing this to be done. That's Yahweh's judgment. When you see that, it says Yahweh did it or Yahweh brought upon them. No, it's not. It's his judgment that he allows them to bring it on themselves. You will cut them off in the midst. That is, they will be cut off in the midst of their wickedness. Remember that word midst? In the midst of the years, remember that? Midst of tribulation, midst of the 7 years, remember that? You, O Yahweh, our Father, will destroy them. That is, you will allow them to be destroyed. Well, this seat now, this throne, and of course a bishop, you know what a bishop is. This is a seat that's been given to them, and of course it's not. This is part of, the bishops are part of the Vatican. They have great authority. And they can annul and they can pass laws and so forth. That's what it says here. I'll read it to you. Bishop, one having spiritual or ecclesiastical supervision. Supervision as Eastern Orthodox or Roman Catholic clergyman. Roman Catholic clergyman. Priest having authority. He's a priest. He's got a big authority. Typically governing. Authority to govern. A priest. Presiding over over all other bishops. And over the Aaronic priesthood. Now, I told you before, that's what Malachi Martin brought out in the article, The Keys of This Blood. Let's turn over to Revelations quickly. I know I'm out of time. I know I'm going overtime, but I got to get three more scriptures in here, and then we'll quit. And I'll glance through these. But remember this word seat or throne, the throne. And here is in Revelations now 13. And I stood upon the sands of the sea, and I saw this beast coming up out of the sea with the seven heads. Seven heads? Remember that? Seven heads. And those seven heads, of course, the Revelation 17 in verse 9 shows them seven heads or seven mountains or hills, seven uplifted places. And ten horns, that's the ten religions, three of which was plucked up and taken to Rome, and of course transplanted to Rome, then the temple destroyed. And upon his horns, ten crowns, this is the authority, this is the bishops we just got through reading about here. And upon his heads, the names of blasphemy, blasphemy against Yahweh, if you look on over to verse 6 and 7, 5, 6, and 7. And the beast which I saw, on his head, name of blasphemy. And the beast, verse 2, which I saw was similar to a leopard, and his feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon. Now remember the seven hills of Rome, the dragon gives him, look at that. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne. Did you get that word throne? We just covered it now. The dragon is who gave him his throne. Meaning the dragon, that old serpent that deceived Eve, also deceived Cain. The whole world gone the way of Cain. You've got to keep these things in your mind now if you're going to understand the rest of this, which there's much, much more. And notice great authority. The bishops, where do they get their authority? Not from Yahweh. Look at back to chapter 12 there in verse 9. This dragon. The dragon, who's the serpent of Revelation, Genesis 3:5. Look at it there, 12 verse 9. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, the serpent who deceived Eve was cast out, who's also known as the devil and Satan. She has all four of those names. Look at chapter 17 now. Chapter 17. Now, Daniel shows you this same sentence given to the burning. Remember, Daniel 7, their governments are going to be given to the burning. This governments that are governing the world right now is fixing to visit America, the capital, and talk to our United States leaders to give them orders straight from the Vatican. Well, Yahweh says here in 17 verse 1, and there came one of the seven Malachim, that's the messengers of Yahweh, who had the seven bowls, and talked with me, saying to me, come and I will show you the sentence of the great whore that sets upon many waters. That messenger, if you look to chapter 22, to hold your place right there, messenger, look at chapter 22 of Revelations there, and verse 16. I, Yahshua, have sent my messenger to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. You see that, how plain that is? Now look back here again to Revelation 17. Come and I will show you. That's me speaking this. Hear the words? Come, I'm going to show you. Well, I've showed you quite a bit today, right? Come and I'll show you the sentence of this great whore that sets on the waters. Waters, verse 15 of that same chapter there shows you these waters are multitudes, nations, and tongues. She's deceived the whole world, as Revelation 12:9 says. With whom the king, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that kings of the earth, that's a religion. All the religions of the earth are practicing this fornication, this devil worship, God worship. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine. The wine, this is the teaching. Hurt not the oil and the wine. This teachings of the entire world coming forth from the Vatican, teaching them that their enemies must be wiped out. War is okay to stop the enemy. That's what Cain said. And of course, Abel was his enemy. And Yahweh said, all the world has gone the way of Cain. The wine of her fornication, that God worship, it includes sodomy, by the way. It actually covers the word sodomy. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of God worshipers that carried me away in the laws of Yahweh. That's what he carried me in. For years and years he carried me in this, teaching me the prophecies, teaching me the laws so I could make contact with him, teaching me the laws of Yahweh and the prophecies so I could go and proclaim this to the house of Yahweh as the messenger of Yahshua in these last days. God worshipers, worshipers of Elohim, and I saw the woman sitting on the scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy. You notice the colors that the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins brought out, and the rainbow that was shown us, and their rainbow, and as that what Satan has given to them. Showing the authority and showing the future. Scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy. That's blasphemy towards Yahweh, as you see in chapter 13, having seven heads. Seven heads. Look on down to verse 7 again. He says, "And the Moloch said to me, 'Why are you astonished? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads.'" Seven heads. Look on down to verse 9 now. Seven heads, remember. "And here is the mind which has wisdom." This is the mind which I've given wisdom now. That's telling the house of Yahweh, the mind that has wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains, hills. They're also called hills, on which the woman sat. The woman, verse 18, "The woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, whose representative of this divining serpent, the Vatican," which that's what the word Vatican means divining serpent, "the representative," like Cain, I'll bring more on that later, "is coming to the United States." Now look back to verse 4 of Revelation 17. "And the woman was arrayed in purple." He just brought that out today now. And the numbers too, he brought the numbers out. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having the golden cup in her hand full of the abominations. Abominations is breaking Yahweh's health laws and laws that cover family living. Abominations that causes confusion to the mind, where, as President Barack Obama said, we're groping as blind men in the dark, trying to pass laws to stop the mess that we've made. And we're not successful at all. Nothing is successful in what we're doing. Now, he admitted that, and then he said later, you really need to read your Bible. Well, if you'd put those two things together, but now notice the filthiness of their fornication, And upon her head was the names of Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, that's the religions now, she's the mother of them, and of the abominations of the earth. The Vatican is stepping in on getting very close to House of Yahweh now. And, of course, I've told you there is going to be a showdown. It's probably going to be really spectacular. I'm actually looking forward to it. And I just hope that you'll learn these lessons that I'm giving you here, where you could teach them to other people so you won't be deceived and carried off, lose your place, that somebody else takes your crown, as Yahweh says. Because if, like Aaron, the brother of Moshe, that's who I'm talking about, you just read what he did, and make up your mind that you're not going to go that way, you're going to stay with Yahweh. Yahweh's predicted all of this. Their divining serpents were used in Egypt too, and Yahweh showed his power over them back then. If you remember, he showed his great power, brought the 12 tribes out from under their control. This is the same divining serpents, and they have no more power now than they had then, except they got power of the nuclear bombs that the other nations have at their control, at the Vatican's control. They have these. And they're giving orders to do this and this to bring down, as Malachi Martin told in advance now. You remember he told this in advance. He said, anyone who doesn't worship Mary, then Satan is going to make war. He called her Mary. Is going to make war. That's the Queen of Heaven that's shown to be Satan herself. Helil, the devil, that old serpent that talked to Eve. Through somebody else, through an agent. And I'll get deeper into later. It is deep. It's hard to understand, and you've got to get a lot of scriptures in your mind to do it. But I've told you before that these were the two leading religions, the Cain and Abel. They were the two leading religions. They were the two trees that Yahweh himself put in the so-called Garden of Eden. And from there comes forth the world, who goes the way of Cain, as Jacob said, chapter 1, verse 11. All the world has gone the way of Cain. Well, Cain, from this point, you're going to be amazed at what Yahweh actually gives to us. And I'm not going to mention any more. I'll leave you sitting on a on that, but I tell you, it's going to get exciting. But if you're not really true and know these scriptures and lean on them, you got to lean on Yahweh here and depend on, you know, him being in control of your life. And he will. He'll use you, and he'll have a place for you in his kingdom. Whether you die in this mess or not, you know, you can still have a place if you won't give in to unrighteousness. Don't make up your mind and say, well, going down to my kinfolks now is not evil. Yes, it is evil. It's evil. If they're unbelievers, they'll make you unclean. They'll get you defiled, shut you off from Yahweh. You could lose your life on the way back or your salvation on the way there. You better come out of this world. I mean, because totally come out of it. Get to using Yahweh, totally. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you. I love you.